Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Aleph. That's Keneged Sanhedrin. That's a good sign that we're getting closer to the Asifa Zekenim. Yes, indeed. We're waiting for that day, remember. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Oh, when the saints come marching in. I want to be there for that number. Yeah, that'll be the day. Okay. Says the Gemara, we begin on Daf Ayin Amud Beis at the bottom. Omer Reb Chama Bar Chanina, Kishakadosh Baruch Hu, Mitaher Shvatim, Shifto Shelevi Mitaher Techila. So we know that Eliyahu Hanavi, or Mashiach Tzidkenu, as the Rambam brings it, will be, it's amazing Rambam, absolutely amazing Rambam. But first, let's just take the Gemara. So the Gemara says, all right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to end up being Metayer the Shvatim, because it says, V'yashav mitzareif u'mitaher kesef. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be sitting, and will take the, like you're, he's being Metayer, he's going to purify silver. And what will be the first tihara? The tihara b'nei Levi, v'zikakotam kazaha v'chakesa. So he will refine them. That means purge them of all the pselas, the same way that you do with gold and silver. V'ayu la'ashem magishe mincha b'tzdaka. Now there's two ways of understanding this. So we're going to see that the idea over here is, according to most, this pasuk from Malachi is a reference to, as the Rambam says, some people say, Eliyahu HaNavi will come before. Nobody knows what these things really mean. And stop giving us your interpretations. After it happens, you'll know. Okay, fine. But the beautiful pshat is Rabbi Hosei. Remember, we had the Gemara yesterday in which we understood that Ad Sheyamod Kohen L'Urim V'Tumim, B'Urim V'Tumim, so that HaTirshata, Ezra, and Nehemiah, they were marchik the Kayanim, that could not bring Sav Yichusatam, this we learned with Tzer Shabbos, until a Kohen is going to come with the Urim V'Tumim. And then we'll see whether you're really Kayanim or not, but we can't be Matu, you remember? Now Rashi understood that what that means is, Ke'adam Shomer Achiyavo Mashiach. In other words, there was not going to be a Kohen that would be Omed Urim V'Tumim during the entire period of the second Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, what it was really saying is, look, it's not up to us. We'll wait till Mashiach comes, and then we'll see what'll be. The Rambam learns that that pasuk means, in classic Rambam fashion, says the Rambam, so you see from that pasuk that you're allowed to rely on Ruach HaKodesh to be miyaches for these Isurei Kahal. Because what is that supposed to mean? A Kohen stands at the Urim V'Tumim and he says, the Lord has shown me that so-and-so is a kosher Jew and not a mamzer. Get out of here. what is this kind of superstition? We're going to believe some guy just because he's the Kohen Gadol and he's got this magic. We don't go according to magic, says the Rambam. But the point is that since it says in the Pasuk, Ad Sheyamod Kohen during Urim V'Tumim, you see that the Torah considers the Urim V'Tumim not to be magic, but it's absolutely reliable in terms of the halacha. Forget about it's reliable to tell you what stock market to invest in, you understand? That's a double portion. We're talking about, but la halacha, we're going to rely on it? Yes, you see from here, we'll rely on it. Therefore, if Mashiach tells you that Alpi Ruach HaKodesh so-and-so is kosher, you have a right to rely on Ruach HaKodesh, because that's what the Urim V'Tumim is. It's essentially Ruach HaKodesh. Isn't that amazing? It's so classic, Rambam. We have a halacha that tells us you can rely on Ruach HaKodesh. The exact opposite, right? Of like the entire magical approach to life of the superstitions of religion and so on. We need a raya, first of all, right? Okay, we have a raya. Okay, beautiful. So now the question is, what does this mean? When we're talking about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Yoshev, the pashtas that we took it to mean is that the B'nai Levi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will select will be the ones that are kosher and not mamzerim. and they will be able to be Eved on Bnei Levi, of course, the Kuzkayanim, and they will be able to be Eved on the Mizbeach, etc., etc. But there's a whole different approach. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, you know what this means? It means that money can buy the way back in for Mamzerim. Because it says Kekesev, right? So what does that mean? You could pay off HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you give enough money to Tzedakah. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? It means Kesev Mitaher Mamzerim. In other words, in the way that we saw before, that these rich people that were there, we brought these psukim from the Ezra and Nehemiah, that people that had married into families, even of Avodim, because of the fact that they had gotten so fabulously rich, and we had the whole story that we're going to stone Rabbi Yehuda because he was Megala, and so on, that essentially says that if you don't know about it, because what was Rabbi Yehuda talking about? If you're not good, I'm going to tell people. I understand. If you know, so tell people. I mean, don't you have to make sure that people don't marry Mamzerim? What do you mean you're threatening them? What does all of this mean? Says Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, what it means is how the Ran understands that this pasuk is nogia halacha l'maisa, and this is how Rabbi Meisha is at Sal Paskin. Halacha l'maisa. Do you tell when you know? That's the question. So Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Kesev mitaher mamzerim. Shinam Rav Yoshav mitzaref umitaher kesev. That's the pshat. Money, because they have married because of the money and so on. Once the family has been accepted and nobody knows about it, then they actually are not exposed and they become tar. And that's what it means. And you see at the end when it says, Magishe mincha bitzdaka. Why bitzdaka? Because Amar Rabbi Yitzchak tzedaka asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, shemishpacha shenitma'a nitma'a. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed with Yisrael that once a family has been accepted into the tzibur as kosher, he accepts that family. And even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that this family has mamzeres, he's not going to expose it. And when he's metayer, b'nei Levi, it doesn't mean he's metayer them by throwing out the mamzerim. It means he's metayer them by hiding the mamzerim. An amazingly different approach, which is how we pass Ken Halacha L'maisa. Gufa. So let's go before. We talked about, from the beginning of the sugya, the interrelationship, what it was that Ezra had done, and how he turned Bavel into Seles Nikia, right? And the rest of the world is considered to compare it to Bavel. Even Eretz Yisrael is considered to be Issa, in which things are mixed with all kinds of funny ingredients. So Yisrael, we said before, that kol ha'aretzot Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael is considered to be Issa, that is to say, it's not on the same madrega of Yichusim as Bavel is. Now, Bimei Rebbe, interestingly enough, as the generations passed on, and now there was no longer the same type of hakpada. Remember, what was Ezra relying on? Ezra was relying on the fact that there was the Bezdin in the Lishkas Hagazis that used to check out the kashrus of the Kayanim, and therefore they had to keep a database of psulim, right? So that would mean that everyone in Eretz Yisrael ultimately was going to be part of this checkout, and we would know if there were any mamzerim. And that's what he relied on. And the fact that there was nothing left in Bavel, that's what we were relying on Bavel. But the problem is that the issue, at least in Eretz Yisrael, there was a Bezdin even at the time of Rebbe. But by that time, there was a lot of mixing of populations, and weren't there a lot of people that might have been psulim that got mixed up in Bavel because they didn't have the ongoing finger on the pulse of things, the way that things were in Eretz Yisrael, which would mean that after these generations had passed, that now things should be reversed. And therefore, in the time of Rebbe, they actually wanted to reverse it, and they wanted to treat Bavel as if it were the Issa and Eretz Yisrael were the closest to Miuchasim. So when Rebbe said this, he says, you guys, kotzim atem esimim li beninai, what is going on over here? You're putting a crown of thorns over me to blind me? I mean, remember, that Rebbe was actually a descendant from the whole family of Hillel. Hillel came from Bavel, and we call him Hillel HaBavli. And this was the beginning of the Nesias that was, in the end, comes out to be Rebbe. Remember, Hillel took over the Bnei Bisera. And now you're saying that maybe I am not Miyuchas. You know what? Ritzonchem, listen, I'm not going to deal with this because it's personal. But how about you guys talk to Rabbi Chanina ben Bar Chama? He'll deal with you. So sure enough, Nitzpah Mimoyim Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, and he said to them, listen here, gentlemen. Kach mikublani mi Rabbi Yishmo b'Rabbi Yosi she'omar mishum aviv. Kol ha'aratzot isa la'eretz Yisrael, ve'eretz Yisrael isa la'bavel. So therefore, we know that this comes from a Mesera from Rabbi Yosi in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a Mesera from Bavel. So that shut them up. Now, Bimei Rabbi Pinchas, the same thing happened again. And Bikshula Asod Bavel Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Pinchas, who was very old at that time, and who had a rough time running for his life, right? So he was very old, and they used to bring him in a wheelchair, you know, into the Beis HaMidrash. So he tells the people that were helping him out, he says, okay, now listen, today we're going to have a really dangerous day. So I'm about to say something in the Beis HaMidrash. When I say it, take the wheelchair and run like the devil's after you. Get me out of there fast. Okay, it's really a crazy story. All right. So anyways, so they bring him in. So Kiyayel, Rabbi Pinchas comes into the Beis HaMidrash and they bang on the shtender. You know, Rabbi Pinchas is here. Rabbi Yisai, Rabbi Pinchas has something very important to tell us. Okay. So Rabbi Pinchas says, Ein shchita la'oif min ha-Torah. He doesn't explain to them why. Everybody says, Ein shchita la'oif min ha-Torah. Oh, you could just hear the murmuring in the background. And it becomes a roar and everybody's involved in that sugya and they're trying to figure out what's the mokert, Ein shchita la'oif min ha-Torah. And then while they're all busy thinking about Ein shchita la'oif min ha-Torah, he screams out, he says, Kol ha'aratzot are Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, and Yisrael Eretz Yisrael is Yisrael above all, run! They grab the wheelchair, and they run. And everybody starts chasing him. Ratzu acharav, but he had a head start, so they couldn't catch him. What was all of this about? Because if somebody tells you that this is the halacha, so then that means that they're going to start being ma'ayin on the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So what do you know that you're not telling, right? In other words, what are these mishpachas? That's all he needed is to get involved in that. And so he wanted to escape, but he was too old to run. So he had a motorized wheelchair to zoom out of there. Anyway, so then they sat down in the Beis HaMidrash and they started to be Yoshvu, Botku. And they started exposing some of the genealogical charts. And, you know, they have all these internet sites and everything. Things got really hot because there were a couple of very powerful mafia families over there that were about to be exposed. And that would have meant that anybody who exposed them would have found themselves at the bottom of the, well, which river was it? It wasn't the Harlem River there, was it? But they would definitely be at the bottom of the local river. And so at that point, they said, we better stop. So, Pirshu. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, I swear by the Beis HaMechala. I swear by the Hechal. I know, B'yadenu hi, I actually know the families here in Eretz Yisrael that are posel. But I don't dare tell you the truth because, you know, some of the big Dele Hador come from those families and they're all mamzerim. I don't dare open up my mouth. Now, this could account for a lot of behavioral problems. But anyway, I ain't telling. So how is it possible? If you know, what do you mean you're not telling? Savalak Rabbi Yitzchak. Yom Rabbi Yitzchak. Mishpacha shenitma'a. Nitma'a. So therefore, if you don't expose it, so then Lamaisa, in the end, it's going to be kosher. Because B'Yemos HaMashiach, it'll be Mekubal, and there's no need to be Megala. Now, of course, that means that this is Negeh Afilu Bizman Hazeh. It's not something that's Negeh only lost, it as the Ram points out. And that would mean that There might be a difference. This is a big question. What if there are two Adim? Two Adim, though. I understand, like we've seen in the Gemara, if one person knows something and he says it, all he's doing is generating Lashon Hara, because one person is not going to be believed. And therefore, we had those Gemaras. We'll punish the person who's talking and not the person that he's talking about. That's exactly the idea. But what about over here if you really have two Adim? So that's a big machlokas. If you have two Adim, whether over there perhaps, they do have to say, they do have to be Megala. There's also another issue which Ramesha raises. And that is where somebody was Bedavka, because we'll see that we know there were all of these towns that we were Megala on that we spoke about earlier, and that these people are us, or for instance, became very Nogea in the Aliyah of the Ethiopians. Remember, this is all big shilas, whether they're, you can even be Megayer them because there's a Chashim Amzeris, because they weren't Bekiim, and getting Vikidushim kind of issues. This was major, major political hot potato, obviously, because you know, it was bad enough to say that they needed a Giyur, which people didn't understand that was a big Kula. That wasn't a Chumra, that was a Kula. Because if you could be Megayer, then that means that you're not Chayish from Amzeris. So paskening that they aren't Jewish was a tremendous Kula, like we had in the Sugya earlier. You know, Benogeya the Dine Psulim. If it has a din of an Akum, you're in luck. But if it's a din of a Mamzer, a din of a Yisrael, then you're not in luck. Okay, anyway, so the question over there is also whether communities that Bedavka ignored the dinim of Yichus, say the Karaim, which were Asard intermarrying with them. So there Reb Meisher raises that question also. If the person Bedavka was Nitma'a, so it's shaykh to say, Hayov Nitma'a Nitma'a on purpose. Okay, so we're going to see now about the questions, some of these questions, Bichlal. So, Sobelak Reb Yitzchak, Reb Yitzchak Mishpacha Shinitma Nitma. So, Reb Yochanan obviously was not going to tell. Rabbi, we know this actually from the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Idyas. Mishpachat Beit HaTzirifa, Haita Be'ever HaYardein. So, there was this family called Beit Tzirifa, and this fellow Ben Zion, who was very, very influential, he was marchik them, and he wouldn't let them marry the regular people. He always claimed that they were mamzerim, and they couldn't fight him because he was too rich and powerful. Now, there was another family, which was just the opposite, od acheret haita, where everybody knew that they were mamzerim, and kirva ben Zion bizroa. And that family, actually, because of the influence of Ben Zion, he was always out with lawsuits against anybody who would claim that they were Mamzerim. I mean, he shut up all of the people that would mention it. Now, those people are not considered to be Hoyel V'nitmu Nitmu because everyone knew about the political issues that were involved and everybody knew that it was all Bizraya. So there, it's true that Kegon Elu, says the Mishnah, Eliyahu ba'letame ulataher l'racheku l'karev. So there, Eliyahu ha'novi will actually, yes, be marchik them, or yes, be makarev. L'tame l'tayer is in terms of avdus. L'racheku l'karev is in terms of chalolus for the kuhuna. We find that lashon, remember, where shoymim ha'kohenim lachem l'rachek avalo l'karev. You see that lashon of Racheku LeKarev is Nogea, the Avodah Sakuhuna by Chalolim. Because it's like these, that's why it says, Kegon Elo, in other words, families in which it's known that the only reason nobody's talking about it is because they're afraid of lawsuits or whatever, so that Elio has to actually be Megala. Avo Mishpacha Shenitma'ah, Nitma'ah, and that's the point that Rabbi Yitzchak was saying. So you see from this Mishnah, like Rabbi Yitzchak, in fact, it's not only our Svara, Tana, and there's a Braita that says there was another famous family besides the Ben Zion one that the Mishnah in the Idyos speaks about. The Chachamim didn't want anybody to know about it, but Chachamim masrimoto livnehem l'talmideim pa'am achas b'shavua, pa'amilo pa'amayim b'shavua, once every 7 years, it was given over to their children or to their close Talmidim, or maybe twice every 7 years. So in other words, what does this mean? If there are tznuim that are very makbid on yichus, and you have your Talmidim, you have your children, so then what, you should let them marry into a family that is not miyuchas and has a chashash of mamzerus, because ultimately, hoyo v'nitmu nitmu. And what about the fact that, as we spoke about yesterday, the entire milchama that we have for the Kedushas Yisrael is a milchama that includes the clarity of Eidus Yisrael, as we'll see, Shifteka, the milchama of Midian, Pinchas HaKoin, Mashuach milchama, and so on and so forth. That's not a small issue. Of course, for your own family, and for your Talmidim, who are like your family, of course they were Megala, don't marry into this family. But they didn't want it spoken about in general, because people in general are not on that level of Akbada, and they'd rather not know. So anybody who would rather not know, what they don't know doesn't hurt them. That's the point, because ultimately, Kivan Shenitma Nitma'a, but those who are involved and are Tznu'im, those you would say. So now the question is, how much or how often could you be Megala such a thing? So this is a machlokas. Some say twice every Shemitah, and some say once every Shemitah. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, it's more mistaber to say that the halacha is once every Shemitah. Why? Because it says in the Braita, if somebody's Mekabel Naziris on himself, Areini Nazir, so remember, we consider to be the acceptance of Naziris is Kenidrei Rishoyim, that good people do not accept Naziris on themselves. So over here, a guy said, listen, if I'm not going to tell you the truth about families that are possible, I should be a Nazir. It's better he should be a Nazir and he shouldn't be Megala. So then that means that you should not publicly identify, which means the less it becomes known in public, the better. And therefore, we give over the information only to tznuim and to close people. So that's why we find either Rabbi Yehuda or we find Rabbi Yochanan, the cases that we had in the Gemara, you better be careful, because if you're not, I'm going to let it be known. That's the point. So there is an issue, but after not to let it be known. Okay? So this is very, very nogea l'halacha, because obviously these issues come up all the time, especially today when people marry and they get civil divorces and there's problems with their children and people don't know about it. People don't know that the parent was married before and that maybe a parent is the mother is an ashesish, and in terms of the halacha, and it isn't known. Those kind of things, it's unfortunate how often these issues come up. So those who know about it are not mechuyev to be megala. Omer Nachum bar Yitzchak. So command to Omer, it's mistavra, another good reason. I skipped over here. Omer Rabba bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. We have the same issue about how often one is allowed to be megala things that are only meant for tznuim. So, Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shem Bein Arba Otiyot, Chachamim Otzrim Oto L'Talmidehem, Pa'am Achat B'Shavua, Pa'amrila Pa'amayim B'Shavua. So now the question is, the Shem Yudke Vovke, which is supposed to be used by the Kayanim at the time of Birchas Kayanim, which is only done in the Beis HaMikdash, but the question is, what does that mean? So, there's a big machlokas, and over here, the pashtus is, as the Rambam says in Rashi, the correct gersa in Rashi appears here, which the Marshal changed it, but the pashtus is that it means that the way to pronounce those letters is, in fact, the way that it's written, except that you're not allowed to do that. So when it says over here, Chachamim Osrim HaTol HaTamideim, once every 7 years, what is that supposed to mean? So Sumler, like the Rambam explains, that this has nothing to do with just pronunciations and so on. It has to do with understanding what it is and how your mind can be misdopic to this shame to make it a real shame. Otherwise, it's just, it's animal gruntings, which have no meaning. But the Gemara doesn't mean, this is Nemar Nevuchim, doesn't mean just how to say things, obviously. So over there we have this halacha, Pa'am Achas B'Shavua, and some say Pa'amayim B'Shavua, and we had the same discussion over there, where Omer Nachum Mar Yitzchak, it's Mistavra, like the Mandi Omer, who says once. Why? Because we learn out from the Pasuk, Ze Shmi Le'olam, and the word Le'olam is written without the Vav, in which case it could be pronounced Ze Shmi La'alem. La'alem means keep it quiet, don't let people know about it. It's meant to be hidden. And therefore, the most that you can avoid while still allowing there to be a Masera, which is once every 7 years, more than that you should avoid. Now, Rava thought that he would be able to give a drasha about explaining the implications of the shame Yudke Vavke in an open shir, L'midrashe B'Pirka. So, you know that certain old man, which say, is actually Eliyahu HaNavi, gave him a call. La'alem ksiv. So you better shut up. Okay, so he didn't give that shir. Revi Avina Rami. On the one hand, it says in the pasuk, zeh shmi. But then it says, v'zeh zichri. Well, is it the shame or is it the zecher? Apparently, there's a difference between the shame and there's a difference to the reference, which is the zichri. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over that shame, he said at the time that this is my shame, but lokesh ani nichtav ani nikra, I'm not to be referred to the way that this is written. Nichtav ani b'yudkei, but nikra ani b'alev dalet, so that the shame that I should be known by, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm telling you the shame, but it's not the way I'm meant to be referred to. Tana Rabbanan, Rishona shame ben 12 otiot ayu mosrim oto lekol adam. But Misha Rabo Haparitzim, Ayu Mosrimoto Litznuim Shebekuna, Vatznuim Shebekuna Mavliimoto Beni Imat Achehem Hakohani. So there the question is, what is this? In other words, there's another shame. We'll see, there's other shemas. There's the much larger shemas. But the shame Ben Yud Bezos, yes. And the way that Rav Hai Gon says is that the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, when he said the shame, it was the shame of 42 Isaiah, shame ben men beis. And everybody asks on him, the Rosh asks on him, what do you mean? But you're mechuyev to use the shame HaMefurish. Didn't we say they have to use the shame HaMefurish? And Rashi says, the Rambam says, that was our Kabbalah. The shame HaMefurish is the shame of Yudke Vavke. So how actually would you be able to even use a shame like the shame men beis or yud beis? It's not kosher la halacha. So basically, it's the pashtus, as this is the way most of the achronim explain Rav Hai Gon, that all of these other shemes are the pronunciation of the shema mefurish. So that the shema mefurish has a simple level pronunciation, a more refined pronunciation, a yet more refined pronunciation, and so on. But that all of them are the giluyim of the shame of Yudke Vavke. So that, of course, it's not other shemos. Where'd you get other shemos? So like the Rambam explains in the Mer Nevuchim, and when it says you're talking about a shame ben men beis oisias, and so on, you think that that's one long gibberish, a name. It's an explanation, essentially, which consists of those number of osios, which is the maximal information density that you could have used those osios to convey, and it gives you the ability to connect to the meaning of that shame. It's always about meaning. It's never about animal guttering. And therefore, says the Rambam, this is the way you have to understand all of the inyanim of these shemes. And Rashi says over here, he doesn't know these shemes, and it was not nizgala to him, but whatever it is, it was an aspect of the Shem HaMefurish. L'chora, that's how to understand the Rabbi Nohai. So basically, it became Porutz. People that were able to learn in those days, were tznuim. But when people became prutzim, they would only say it over to the tznuim shebekuna. Vatznuim shebekuna, they, even though they had to pronounce it for the Birkas Kohanim, they would pronounce it at the time that the other Kohanim were singing and you couldn't hear what they were saying. That's when they would say the shame. That was the shame ben yud beis, ICIs. And you couldn't pick up what it was that they had said. And in fact, Rabbi Tarfon says, Rabbi Tarfon himself was a Kohen. And he said, I once went up with my uncle. My uncle was the Kohen Gadol, and I went up in the Beis HaMikdash to be able to hear the Tesios Neitzu Kohen Gadol, and I wanted to hear the shame. V'shamati sheivli Hashem b'ni Maaseh HaKohanim. And I saw it was impossible to hear it, because the way that he said it is he made it part of the singing of the other Kohanim, so you couldn't actually differentiate the specific words that he was saying. Omer Rav Yudah Amar Rav, there's also the Shem Ben Arboim V'shtayim Asiyas. And that kind of thing you only say over to somebody who is, first of all, he's very tsanua. He would never say anything where it's inappropriate. And he has to be a person who is an onav. And he has to be a person who's at least halfway through his life. He has to be over 35 years old. A person who doesn't get angry. The Rashi says if he gets angry, he might weaponize the shame. Imagine. Like this, you learn it's a din in his midas. Listen, what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu when he got angry at the mitzvah? Pow! But he uses the shame as an actual weapon. You can't afford to give out guns to kids, right? So we're not going to give out the shame to this Kohen who's still a kid. Either he's under 35 or he doesn't know how to control his anger. A person who never becomes drunk, Enu ma'amid al midosav, he's never makbid on the way people treat him. He doesn't insist on getting whatever he deserves. Because if, as Rashi says, if a person builds resentment, he carries a grudge, you never know what he might do if you give him a gun. Someone who knows this shame, and he's very careful with it. Mishamro b'tahara. He always keeps it in absolute tahira, and if he's tamei, he doesn't think about it. Such a person is ohuv lamala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him. He's nechmad lamata. People in Olam Hazeh, they think that he's very wonderful. Ematom utelat al abriot. People are terrified of him. And such a person is nochol shnei olamim, olam hazeh ve'olam haba. This is begetter v'ru kol amei ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem lokecha nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. So you see that a person whose mind is dovuk to the Kedushas Hashem is a terrifying presence. That's why we say that somebody who carries the tefillin on his head, that itself is already a giloy of his chibur to the Shem Hashem. Omar Shmuel mishmei de saba, bovel, so if you find a family in Bava you want to marry into, you can assume that they are kosher, because we said they're considered to be Kiselas and Nikia. Unless you know, you find Adam, you know that they were Pasol. Masha'in came from any other place, you have to assume that they're Pasol unless you research it. We're going to be talking later on about how to research it or what's considered to be proper research for these issues of yichus. But achi vadalecha b'ma nichshira. So you find out for sure that it's okay, then you can marry. Bashenka by Eretz Yisrael, it's the opposite. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to assume, unless you could do your research, that you've got a problem, and therefore it would be possible. And so if only there's no, we'll see in a moment, what appears to be a contradiction. But what if you know for a fact that there's a chazaka? Okay, so if it's a chazaka for kosher, it's kosher. If it's a chazaka for pasul, it's pasul. So come on, what does that make sense? A gufa kosher. You just contradicted yourself. First you say, if it's mukzik l'pasul, then it's pasul, which is mashma. If there's no chazaka, then it's assumed to be kosher. And you don't have to make any type of bedika. And then you go ahead and you say, no, only if it's mukzik for kashrus, then it's kosher, which is mashma that stomach is pasul. I mean, it can't be both ways. Omer, what about tachlifa mishmei de rav? It's talking about two different situations. The idea that you have to assume passless until you do your research is talking about when you want to marry someone in Eretz Yisrael. That's the pshat. Mashen ken kan lo tzi isha miyado. Well, we said that you assume that it's kosher. We're talking about somebody who already married, and now he hears rumors that maybe the family wasn't kosher. There you need to have clearly a chazaka before you would tell a person to get divorced. So after you're already married, then we treat it only if it's a cheskas psul that it's possible. Omri of Yosef, we say that we assume that Bavel is considered to be like a Seilas Nikia. And Eretz Yisrael is Yisrael Bavel. Anybody who wants to marry someone from Bavel, they can. Well, what constitutes someone from Bavel? I mean, like, do you need to have a passport from Bavel? I mean, how do we know someone is from Bavel? So basically, kosher sichas of Bavel, if the guy speaks the way they speak in Bavel, and he speaks that type of Aramaic and so on, then you can assume he's from Bavel. Mesi'in lo isha. Now, nowadays, where they have Berlitz courses in teaching people to speak Yeshivish, so everybody should assume that they're frum, and they've been frum forever, and so on. Or even, in some places, all you need to do is put on a certain type of clothing, and then they'll assume that you're certainly kosher and not a mamzer. You can't be semichon anymore. So Idna the Ikar Amoy, nowadays, everybody takes these courses in which they could pretend to be part of something. Now we have to be chashina. Just because he speaks Bavelish doesn't mean that he's a real Bavel. And so he would have to have a passport. He actually needs Edim, right? Now, this is a beautiful story. Rabbi Yochanan, one of Rabbi Yochanan's Talmidim, was Ze'iri. And Ze'iri tried to stay away from ever meeting up with Rabbi Yochanan in a dark alley, because Rabbi Yochanan has been after Ze'iri for a long time to get him to marry Rabbi Yochanan's daughter. Now, Ze'iri didn't want to marry Rabbi Yochanan's daughter. And because of that, he was trying his best to avoid him. Because Davi Armalay Nesiv Barati, Rabbi Yochanan was saying, you got to marry my daughter. Anyway, one day they meet up on the road. So now, Yumachad Avikazi Ba'urcha. And they come to a place where there's water. They have to cross through the water. So Rabbi Ze'iri picks up Rabbi Yochanan, puts him on his shoulders, and carries him across the water so that Rabbi Yochanan shouldn't get wet. So Rabbi Yochanan says to them, well, I see that my Torah is kosher for you, you know, but my daughter is not good enough for you, huh? So, all right, and Kishera, but not in Lokashin. Our daughters aren't kosher, but you can learn by me. Well, what exactly is your problem in marrying my daughter, my daiter? Is it because you're basing it on the Mishnah here in Kiddushin? Atzora yuchsin olo mibavel kohane levim yisraeli mamzerim. That doesn't mean anything. What do you think it means when it says kohane levim yisraeli? What, you think every single kohen, every single levi, and every single yisrael, they all came from Bavel? Of course that's not what it means. So when it says Mamzeri and it says Nesine, it's the same thing. They didn't all go with Bavel. Of course, it doesn't mean that. So Ki Hecha D'Yishtayir Mehani, just as there were obviously Kayin, Levim, and Yisraelim, tons, hundreds of thousands of people that were left in Bavel, so there were plenty of Mamzerim left in Bavel. There's nothing better about being from Bavel, therefore you don't want to marry someone in Eretz Yisrael. However, Rabbi Yochanan was ignoring, he apparently didn't hear, the whole basis of our Gemara, which is Rabbi Elazar, namely, Lo ala Ezra mibavel ad sha'asa kesoldas nekia, that no, bedavke, he did take along those who were posel. Now, Ula once went to Pumbedisa, and he came to Rabbi Yehuda and visited him. So he sees, he comes into Rabbi Yehuda's house, and he sees that Rav Yehuda has a son who's already grown. Rav Yitzchak Bereda Rav Yehuda, and he had grown up, Gadal, and he wasn't married. So Ula said to Rav Yehuda, I understand how you let your son wander around without getting him a wife. Why don't you get him a wife? So my time will come and Asiv Lemar Yitzchak Livrei. I mean, he's already 14 years old. What's going on around here? So Amarle, Rav Yehuda said to Ula, I don't know how to take him a wife. Because where in the world would I find someone that I can rely on? Rav Yehuda was from Bavel, and he was worried that even from Bavel now, like we said before, there's been a lot of intermarriage. How do I know I can trust them just because from the time of Ezra? Doesn't mean I can trust them today. Let him fall in love with somebody and go destroy his own life. Well, I'm going to destroy his life for him. I'm going to choose some girl for him who's a mess, which is what people do, you know. They do all their research, you know. What kindergarten did she go to? And that they do all the research on. So how can I take responsibility for that? So Ula said to him, I don't understand. And what makes you think that you're so great? All of we Jews, you know, you think we know who we are. Maybe we are from those who were raped at the time that the Goyim came in to Eretz Yisrael. Noshim b'tzion inu, they raped women in Yerushalayim. B'tulot b'arei Yehuda, so you know that you're not a descendant from one of those rape victims. I don't understand. There were hundreds of thousands of rape victims, and they all got pregnant, maybe, and you may be one of their descendants. So now you're a hoity-toity, and you don't know who to marry, and you don't even know who you are. So if a chitema, maybe you'll say, okay, but I know I'm not a mamzer, because I hold oivet kechovim, v'evet haba bat Yisrael avlad kasher, even if I come from a goy, but at least I'm not a problem of mamzeres. Well, there were other plenty of people that you could have come from that are mamzerim. Maybe you are some of those people that we learn about in Amos, hashochfim amitochein, people that have these beds made out of ivory, v'sarchim tzruchim alar sotam, their mattresses stink, v'ochlim karim mitzon, yeah, they eat there these fattened meat, big slobs. They always have their big steaks and everything is great. And they just act like pigs. What does that refer to? People who lie on ivory beds. What's going on over there? What is Shruchim al Harsotam? They stench up their beds. What does that mean? So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina says, this means slobs. Eil b'nei Adam. These are guys that will go and urinate, mashtini mayim bifnei mitoteyem arumim. There they are, night, it's too cold to go outside, I'm too lazy, so I'm going to take a little pee over here next to my bed, you know? Disgusting. Megadev bar Rabbi Abba thought that was absolutely insane. That's how you explain the pasuk, yachi aino dichtiv, so when the Navi says, l'chein atay yiglu barosh kalim, therefore they should go into golos. What, because they're slobs, therefore they should go into golos. So because they act like slobs, so they don't know how to go to the bathroom, so therefore they should go into Golas. That's not what it means. Obviously, what's talking about something much nastier. These are people that are having rave parties. That's the pshat. So they're eating together, drinking together, put their beds together, put their wives, they exchange their wives with each other, stench up their beds with someone else's semen. That's what it's referring to. So if this was a normal behavior that the Navi calls out, how do you know you're not one of the descendants of those kind of people? You think you're so great? Now you say, I don't know who to marry. I don't know who you are either. So Rav Yehuda said, okay, so what should I do? I mean, I understand. I don't know who I am, but this, therefore I should what? I should go and marry into these mishpachas. I have to do something, don't I? How do I find out what cheder they learned in, you know, and whether their mother uses plastic on a tablecloth or not? I mean, you know, I don't know. They might be totally puzzle. So what should I do? Omar Alei, let me tell you. There's one thing that you can check. Check for families that shut up. Families that shut up are miyuchas. Families that always get into fights and they're yelling and these are the guys you get onto a bus, you get these two old men, they got one foot in the grave and they're cursing each other out. That's horrifying to watch, right? Something's weird. Okay, so if you find a family that when they're insulted or people go after them or they're having a fight, they shut up. Fine. And that's the way. Ki'ai debatki b'nei me'arava. That's the way in Eretz Yisrael that they end up discovering who the Mamzerim are. So they would always, Kimintu Betrei Ba'ali Adad, if people got into any kind of altercation, they would always check to see who shut up first. All right, enough. So Chazur Haiminai to Kodim Eshasik, the one that shut up first was more Meyuchas than the other one. That was taken for granted. And then they would gradually zero in on that which was the most Meyuchas. And that's what they would go according to. Omar Rav, Shtikusei, the Bavel Hani Yichusa. The whole basis of Yichus and Bavel is that they have learned to shut up. And that shows that they're not suffering from paslus. Is that true, Amy? The Ikla Rav Lebei Bar Shafi Chala. Once Rav came along to the house of this guy that used to pour out vinegar called Shafi Chala. And he checked them out, and I'm assuming he checked them out in terms of their yichus. So, I mean, why would he have gone to check out their yichus? He could have simply found out whether it is that they're shtikusa. No, it doesn't mean he checked out their yichus. He didn't go there to check their birth certificates. He went there to see how they act. He wanted to see who is calm, peaceful, and doesn't get into arguments. Achika amaluhu. So what he told the people to check out was, Bedoku ishatke yelo shatke. Check them out and see. How did they respond to arguments? Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Im ra'ita shnei b'nei adam, shemitgarim zeh b'zeh, shemetz psul yesh be'achad mehem. If you see two people that are always fighting with each other, you can be certain that one of them is for sure a mamzer, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make sure that the families do not become intertwined. And therefore, min ha-shamayim ein minichin oto lidabek echad b'chaviro. Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, im ra'ita shtei mishpachot ha-midgarot zumidah. Sometimes you see entire families that are in a family feud. Weird kind of things. So, Romeo and Juliet. So what's going on over there? Something is wrong. Shemetz psul yesh ba'achat mehem. Obviously, at least one of these families are mamzerim. Ein meinichen oto lidabek b'chaverta min ha-shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a situation where the whole family refuses to be mizdabek with the other. They don't realize why, but it's min ha-shamayim to avoid mamzerut. Omer Rav Papa Saba Mishmei Derav. You should know that Bavel is essentially a healthy place, meaning in terms of yichus. So Bavel is bria. That means it's rov, it's kosher. Meshan? Oh, God, it's dead. Forget it. I mean, they're the walking dead. They're all mamzerim. Madai is sick. Chola. Elam is basically goseset. I mean, they're already on their deathbed. So, I mean, like, what's the practical nafkamina? Ma ben cholon legosesin. What's the difference between being sick and between on your deathbed? The difference is that a chola rov cholim l'chaim. Most people are ill, end up recovering, but most people are ghosts in Lamisa. So when we said that in Madai they're chaylem, it means that they're, most of them are actually not mamzerim. Whereas Elam is considered to be goseset, that means that most of them are not. Okay, so now the question is, we've talked about Bavel as having a special din in terms of yichus. Remember, we also talked about Bavel as having a special din, like a begitin. This was the whole idea of Eber, somebody's maybe get, Mimedina Sayam, and the Dinim of Bavel, where there became Lishma. No, the entire opening to Maseches Gittin dealt with Bavel as a specific place. So now, the question is, what is that specific place? I mean, when you're not there, you think Bavel, the whole Bavel is Bavel, but that's not true. There were many different areas, many different yeshivas, and then there's the original Bavel, which is defined as Mesopotamia, so it's between the Chidekel and the Pras rivers, right? That's a given. But the question of Lahalacha, what we're talking about with is the Yichus, that already is a whole different question. So we could see Barnea's getting ready. He's pulling out over there, probably hundreds of Sfarim. The whole floor might soon collapse under him. If you want to know what happened, it was a disaster in the making. So basically, we need to know exactly where this extends to. By the way, This is exactly the type of problem that is used against us when it comes to Gaza. You know that. The city of Gaza is a specific city. It's not the entire area of Gaza, which is hundreds of square kilometers. It's a small area. People talk about Gaza. Oh, my gosh, it's probably the most densely populated city on Earth. It happens to be less densely populated than Tel Aviv. Can you imagine? And when we tell people, leave Gaza and go, there's nowhere to go. It's in prison. There's hundreds of kilometers to go to. It's like, it's unbelievable. The Sinas Yisrael, you know, where are you supposed to go in Gaza? It's one big prison. The Risha looks amazing. But anyway, so when it comes to Babel, we have that same type of childish assumption. The city of Babel is the equivalent of the entire area of Babel. And so Babel was a small city. And we need to define what the area is that we're talking about. When we talk about Babel, Agabi, these dinim of Yehusim. And separately, we're going to have to deal with it in terms of Gittin. So Ad Heichani Babel. So Rav Amar Ad Nahar Azak and Shmuel Amar Ad Nahar Yoani. Now, this is a given. There's a big machlokas here, Rashi and Tosfos, about the question of what is considered to be upstream or what is considered to be downstream. Remember that the Gemara says that Gishma b'marova sahada rabba pras. You want to know whether there's rain coming down in Eretz Yisrael, look at the flow of the Euphrates, the pras, and you can tell whether it's raining heavily in Eretz Yisrael. That was been again mikvos, but with all of these dinim that was said by. Now that the pashtus means that if it's raining in Eretz Yisrael, then the watershed of Eretz Yisrael flows into the pras, which means that the pras will be running actually from south to north, which is not the case in physical terms. But Rashi says, but I mean, that's what it says in the Gemara. I don't know what the, you know, I'm not an explorer, but the Gemara says this. Tosfos says, no, it's not true. It runs the opposite direction. It's more southerly, you know, obviously it's not directly south-north, but the idea of Sahara Rabba Pras, Tosfos always learns, is the idea that if there's a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael, which is downstream, so then the pressure of the water that is coming from upstream cannot actually race through the Prat the way that it usually does. And therefore, there's a backup, and you can tell the backup in Bava. That's what Sahara Rabba Pras means. Therefore, the differences in how to learn this Gemara between Rashi and Tosfos is that upstream and downstream are opposite directions, according to Rashi and Tosfos, which is why Barnea's got his Sfarim out. Don't take out too many. Remember, Barnea, that's all you need. If you go through the floor, we're not going to be able to see any of these pictures. Perhaps it would be better for you to send that as a WhatsApp or a chat, because it's not coming across very, very clearly. In your
he
picture.
Has a special page. This is Tchumei Babel Liyuchsin.
What's
Rebbe
that?
Rebbe has this. I got Rebbe one, but it was in the Beis Medrash, right?
It was in the Beis Medrash. I mean, there's 1,000 Sfarim. Every time I ask you for a Sefer, you send that Sefer, plus every Sefer that has any connection to that Sefer, which, of course, made also a big hole, and then 1,000 Sfarim fell down into the hole. Now I don't have any of them. How do I get you back some of your Sfarim? Yeah, I just asked you to send me the Yerushalmi. I got a whole pile of Sfarim. Now I have to move into another house.
He has here
Dahar Yuani
marked on that one.
Okay, fine. So send it to us. But we'll just run the Pashas as a sugya. We'll do it like Rashi. Obviously, we understand that it'll be different approaches depending on what we consider to be upstream or downstream.
I think Rebbe made these as attachments on the Daf Yomi page at one point.
I sent. Yes, you're right. I think last time or two times ago. Yes. So you can look, I remember online, there's on the site, there's a place where to the side you can get the pictures. Yeah. Very good. Okay, so La'el b'diglat ad hecha. So now the question is upstream on the Diglat River, which is called the Tigris River. So Rav Omer, so what we're talking about is like this. Mesopotamia per se between the Pras and the Diglat, that's a given. Now we want to know how far beyond between the two rivers are we talking about. So how far upstream along the Diglas? So Rav says all the way to Bagda and Avna, and Shmuel said Ad Mushkani. So it's even further, according to the way Rashi understands it. We'll see in the Gemara clearly that it goes all the way up to Mushkani, which is Mashma, that it goes even further than Rav. When you say Ad Mushkani, so what does that mean? Not including Mushkani? V'yomer Rebichir bar Avar Mashmuel Mushkani Areya Ki Golala Yuchasi? That actually you can trust Mushkani. It's just as good as the Golah for Yuchas. In Golah, we always refer to, remember, with the sending out of the Shluchim and the lighting the fires, the Kolah Golah is Pumpadisa. So apparently Mushkani was included. Is what he meant. So Ad Mushkani or Mushkani Biklal. Okay, how about downstream? How about Latachtit B'Diglat Adhecha? Amar Rav Shmuel. This goes all the way down to lower Apamia. Because there were two Apamias. One was the upper Apamia, which was upstream, and one was the lower Apamia downstream. One is kosher, and one is pasul. So the one that was lower, further away from the other one, was pasul. And the distance between one and the other was very close. It was only one parsa. So ben chod lechod a parsa. And nonetheless, these people, for generations, knew about the difference in their chazak and were very careful never to get involved one with the other. They wouldn't even lend you a match for a cigarette just in case you might fall in love and end up mixing their populations. So afilo nura lo moshli ahadade.
No matchmaking.
Hey, wowee. Wowee. The guy's a genius, I'm telling you. Vesimonecha? So the way to remember which place is considered to be pasul is that the place where they talk in Meshan talk, Meshanit, that, as we said, oh my gosh, Meshan is all Mamzerim. So Apamya, the lower Apamya, that was the one that is closer to Meshan. And they, that's the Simen, that they're like Meshan. Now that's in terms of the Diglas. Now let's talk about Nahar Prat, which is the one closer to Eretz Yisrael. What about there? So Le'el Bifrat, how much upstream on Nahar Prat? So Rav Amar Ad Akra de Tulbakni. Now maybe Barnea will explain to us what Akra de Tulbakni actually means. It's such a mysterious term. What is that Akra? You mean it's, so then it's not anywhere on this globe? It's not part of Barnea's neighborhood? All right, so somewhere in Andromeda that galaxy, apparently, is this place called Akra de Tulbakni, which is outside of our ken. V'shmul Amer, Ad Gisha de Veprat, it's up until the famous bridge that crosses over the Nahar Prat. And Rabbi Yochanan says it's all the way till the Gizma Ma'avar. So I guess there was a closer place to cross over. Abaye, or some say it was Rabbi Yosef, they cursed anybody who would rely on what Rav said, who said that you could go and rely that it's kosher, not Mamzerim, all the way to Akra, the Tulbakni, no way. Okay, so this was obviously many years later. In other words, he wasn't Chas V'Shalom, he's not going to say, I would curse Rav's opinion. But if today somebody relies on that, so he was malayit alav. Wait a minute. What do you mean he was cursing Rav? Shmuel was even more makel. He said, you go all the way up to, was the one, Lashon, all the way up, Zmashma, that it's even further. So why only on Rav? No, he was light even on Rav. Kol Shekhen, he was light on the Shmuel. Or the truth is, you know what? The famous bridge were in different places in the years of Shmuel. That's the point. And it could be he was only Layat Adarav, not on Shmuel. Because in the time of Shmuel, the original famous bridge that was built across the Prat was actually downstream. So it was further closer to Akra de Tulbakni than Akra de Tulbakni. So he was basically more Machmir. It was afterwards, Ha'id Nahud, Dalyua Parsoi, these Persians, where they rebuilt the famous bridge, and they moved it upstream. So now, you're right, if you would go according to Shmuel today, it would be, in fact, a bigger Kula. Okay, be continued tomorrow. Sorry that we don't have enough of the geographical information to satisfy you. And maybe Reb Barnea will post what he can manage in his research for the day. Meanwhile, I wish us all besorot tovot, yeshuot v'nechamot. We should be zochet to see Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin.